Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And to get us started today, I'm going to read a piece that was written by one of our guests today, Ron Deal. Imagine you've just been hired for an exciting new job. It's your first day. You show up 15 minutes early because you just can't curb your enthusiasm. Upon arrival, you find nothing is ready for you. You have an office, but your name's not on the door. In fact, the name of the person who formerly held that position is still visible. No one can tell you your job description. You talk to your supervisor and fellow employees, but they all have different opinions on your role. Mm-hmm. Some even express doubt if you should have been hired at all. Some see you as a hero, and others see you as poised for a hostile takeover. By noon, you're wondering, should you have even taken this job at all?
Whoa.
You know, Ron, as Ryan was reading that introductory statement, I do hope that some, and I'm sure many, in our listening audience will have figured out you were talking about a stepfather and the responsibility he faces and how difficult it is to step into that role, sometimes with very little preparation. Yeah. That was a wonderful word picture. And it's going to be a fascinating discussion today with you, Ron. The research shows that about one in every three marriages in the U.S. is forming a step family, which can produce very difficult challenges and stresses. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, last November, we had Laura Petherbridge here, and she's the author of The Smart Stepmom. And she was talking about the challenges and experiences that come with that responsibility. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to balance the scale and talk about the stepfather. And we have invited a couple of friends to be here who have reason to know a lot about this subject.
In fact, Doctor, I was noticing that while Ryan was reading that scenario, both of these men were nodding their heads in agreement. So they already have a good understanding of that topic.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I start the program frequently with introductions. I'm going to ask the two of you to introduce our guests.
Well, let me begin, Doctor. Ron Deal is a licensed professional counselor with nearly 25 years of experience in family ministry consulting. He now serves as the director of Blended Family Ministries for Family Life. That's an organization we know and greatly appreciate.
Ron has a master's degree in marriage and family therapy, and he's also written a number of great books on this topic. Mm-hmm. He co-authored The Smart Stepmom with Laura Petherbridge, who you just talked about, Dad, and wrote its counterpart, which we're here to discuss today, The Smart Stepdad, and his latest is called Dating and the Single Parent. That's a big issue these days, isn't it?
It is. Thank you. It's an honor to be on the program today.
And we're going to introduce our other guest here in a minute. But Ron Deal is also a member of the Step Family Expert Council on the National Step Family Resource Centers. Ron, what is that exactly?
That is a secular-based group at Auburn University that disseminates research and information around the country regarding stepfamilies. And I have the privilege of serving on their expert council and really trying to help advise them about ministering to stepfamilies specifically. I help them understand churches, and they help me understand all the latest research. It's kind of a nice partnership.
Now, you're not a step-parent yourself.
That's right. I tell people that I'm the male obstetrician of the stepfamily. I have never delivered that baby myself. Nan and I have been married for 27 years and have three children. And
it worked with a lot of people.
I've worked with a lot of people.
Stepmoms and stepdads.
That's exactly right.
That's kind of a specialty for you, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I have spent 25 years in marriage and family ministry in general, but I've really enjoyed diving deep into the stepfamily experience and helping people prevent problems and strengthen their marriages that go to the distance.
I called the step family a challenge. Would you agree with that assessment?
I would agree. There's many unique circumstances that bring pressure and stress on step family marriages and the step parent relationships with children. But I really am a strong believer that when given the right blueprint, that is a blueprint for the step family home, not the biological family home, that stepfamilies can be successful and I think even redemptive in the life of the children and even the next generation.
You have just published recently a book that's not on step-parenting, but it's close. It's called Dating and the Single Parent. At the bottom of the cover, it says, "Are you ready to date? Talking with the kids, avoiding a big mistake, and finding lasting love." It's obvious that your approach to families that have been through some pretty tough things is very, very practical. You're talking about the kind of stuff people deal with every day.
And this is where people live. And as you said at the top of the broadcast, the numbers are really compelling. At least one in three marriages today is forming a stepfamily.
That's breathtaking when you think about it.
It is. And one of the latest numbers out says that 40% of families, that is couples with children living in the home, 40% are stepfamilies. And so all of this to say, lots of people are dating and there's kids involved. They're not just dating two people, they're dating in a crowd. And how do you go about doing that and dating well in such a way that takes into consideration the children? But then you also make better decisions about marriage and how that's going to impact the kids. Really, the premise of dating in the single parent is coupleness does not necessarily lead to familyness. And so if you're going to date well, you have to understand those two dynamics so that you're bringing the children along rather than inadvertently alienating them from you and the person that you fall in love with.
Well, maybe we'll get an opportunity to ask you a question or two about this book, because that's very practical stuff too. So, but I said I was going to introduce our other guest. Mr. Brad Bowker is here in the studio with us. He's the father of five children, three of his biological children and two stepchildren. And Brad, it's good to have you here too.
Same here. Thank you.
Tell us the story behind your first wife and what happened there.
Okay. The event that turned our lives around as a family and as a person, and as a person who has lost a wife. Mm-hmm. We were traveling down to Grandma's house on the 26th of December to catch up with some dinners and some goodies and some exciting times to be around Grandma and Grandpa. As we were traveling down on the highway, it became clear to me that there were some problems on the highway. We were the last car of three that were ahead of us. Weren't sure what everything was happening, what was happening at all. And ultimately what happened was there was a drunk driver who crossed the center line and hit us head on. Our three kids were in the back seat. All three of our kids had injuries and difficult issues. Sorry, I'm just getting a little bit.
Yeah, it's still tender after all these years, isn't it?
And my wife was in the passenger side, and when I finally woke up to hear my kids crying and needing to get out of the car, that would be a natural response to me, but they couldn't. They had to stay where they were. And when I finally realized that my wife had died, it became a whole different game.
Was she already gone as you were sitting?
Yes, she was gone as a result of the collision.
Were you hit head on?
Head on. We should all have died in that car accident.
How did you escape?
I don't know. I think it was, I'm pretty sure that it was the Lord's will that He would leave me to be their parent.
How injured were you?
My legs had gone through the dash. I had contusions. Of course, I had issues with going in and out of being able to understand what happened. But what happened was that He gave me more strength to get out of that car.
And so, get your kids out.
To get my kids out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was the smartest thing because there were a lot of cars waiting, to try to block off the highway for us. But this drunk driver was someone that I needed to go over and see. And luckily for me, I wasn't that stupid. But I did go over and realize that this man had been drinking and driving for a long time because he had all kinds of empty cans and more to drink would be his choice.
So he was obviously alive.
He was alive.
How badly injured was he?
I know that he had to do some rehab physically, but he ended up being a whole lot better than us, the three of us.
Often happens, doesn't it?
My oldest daughter probably had the worst of it all in that she had a compound fracture of her leg, and she was never to see her mother again because they took her to the hospital. And there they did surgery. And she not only didn't get to say goodbye to her mom in the hospital, but she didn't. She wasn't able to go to her funeral. Mm. So that's something that she and I often talk about.
Did you have an opportunity to have any last words with your wife, or when you woke up, was she already in heaven?
When I woke up, she was already gone. Mm.
What was the immediate impact of that on you?
I think for me, it was a time where there wasn't anything that made sense to me outside of bitterness, anger. I'm a dad that went around from door to door on our car to try to get people out, and I couldn't do it. Could not do it. And that was simply because of the collision.
Yeah. How old were your kids?
Daughter was a senior, and we had an eighth grader and a fourth grader.
Mm. Wow.
How long was it before you remarried to Colleen, who's also in the room with us here today?
So I better make sure that I have this correct.
You get it right.
I think that's probably a good plan. About 3 years. My wife died in 1982, and Colleen and I got remarried in 1985.
Remarried, meaning she lost her husband or was divorced.
Yes.
Her situation was an alcoholic.
You're correct.
Also.
It's fitting to note here, Doctor, that step families are often born out of loss and grief. Mm-hmm. Just to sit here, Brad, and hear your story, we're all deeply touched. Mm. Just to recover from that, I can't imagine the emotions and things that you're dealing with, and then to walk into the scenario of a blended family.
And if you think about the five children in his new family, he and Colleen's family, everybody has a loss story.
Yeah.
Brad and Colleen have a loss story. The kids have a loss story, but there's differences in their stories. I mean, three of the children, their mother died in a tragic car accident that forever changed them through an experience. Colleen's two children watched their parents divorce because of an unfaithful father. The children have similar experiences in the sense that their family died, but for different reasons, mm-hmm. and it has a different impact. You know, one of those lives on in the form of back and forth between mom and dad's house forever and a day. And having an ongoing relationship with dad, an ongoing relationship with mom, and now Colleen's children having a stepdad. But Brad's children have a different experience. They're not going back and forth between homes. They're just with dad. And so all of a sudden, you have step-siblings that have some things in common, but some things very different. And you have two parents trying to figure out how to maneuver mm-hmm. all of those changes mm-hmm. and losses.
Now, you and your wife had a loss experience, too.
And, you know, we're not a step family, but I do know loss. My 12-year-old son, Connor, died 4 years ago. As a matter of fact, I can tell you how many days it's been, 1,507. I can't help
but
count them.
You keep track of them every day?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
I do, because I'm I'm longing for the day when I don't have to count anymore.
Yeah.
Connor got a staph infection. We don't know how he got it. We don't know where he got it. Nan and I went to a movie one night and saw the movie Taken, as a matter of fact, which, by the way, is interesting part of the story. That movie's about a young girl who's taken for the purposes of child trafficking, and her father, you know, goes and finds her and saves her. That's the story. We went home that night, and Connor had a headache. And what we didn't know is that he was being taken.
Mm. Oh, my.
10 days later, he was gone. Mm. I mean, it just came, and it hit, and we did everything. The doctors tried everything. We prayed constantly, and he was taken.
You had no warning?
We had, yeah, no warning. It just ravaged his body, the staph infection did, a MRSA staph infection, and they just were not able to fight it. And it has radically changed my life in so many ways. One of the things it's done, oddly enough, is it's helped me understand the step families that I minister to a little bit more deeply, because I now understand how much your life changes when life throws you a curve that you didn't ask for, in terms of recalibrating you emotionally and psychologically and relationally and spiritually. And the conversations I have with God are different than the ones I used to have. We now, my wife and I are now involved in a ministry taking back children who had been taken for the purposes of child trafficking. We actually have a ministry where we go to Ghana and help rescued slaves, child slaves. And, you know, we've put our son's name on that ministry. We call it Connor Song. All of that has taught me the complexity of loss as it impacts the stepfamily journey. You can't just say, here's one of the impacts. When I talk to step parents, for example, I tell them, you're a grief counselor because you're trying to help raise children who have been through a significant loss. You didn't know you were being hired, so to speak, as a grief counselor when you came into their life. But as a stepdad or as a stepmom, that's exactly what you're doing. You're trying to help them walk out a loss that is forever changing their world and their life. It's a loss that when they're 5, they have to deal with, and when they're 13, they have to deal with it again in a different way because life changes and relationships change and puberty changes how they think and their capacity to understand. And then when they get to be 18 and graduating high school, and they have to experience the loss again because we have to go to 2 houses to have a graduation dinner. And again, I have to recognize that my parents' marriage died when they divorced, and that causes me an inconvenience, and that makes me mad sometimes. And one of the things, here's the implication of that. If you're a step parent, one of the reasons kids say, look, you're not my dad. I don't have to do what you say. One of the reasons they say that is because they're sad. Essentially what they're saying with attitude is, I want my dad here. Mm-hmm. You're not my dad. I miss my dad.
Ron, are you still sad over Connor's?
Oh, absolutely.
Passing.
Absolutely. It's every day.
You still deal with that grief.
Every day. We just returned from Ghana and our work there with these rescued slave children, which is an amazing work, and it gives me tremendous joy. But the only reason I'm there is because my son's gone. Mm-hmm. And so at the same time I feel joy, I feel great anguish. And I've just decided that's going to be the rest of my life. I've talked with enough grieving parents that I'm pretty confident that's going to be the experience. Yeah. I walk with the anguish and the loss, and I also have hope in a good God. And so I count the days, but I can't wait till because of Jesus.
Are you angry at him?
I never got angry at God. My wife did. You need to have her on the show. We'd love to talk about this. She got angry at God and just, you know, had it out with him. She and Job, you know, really understand each other, really had it out with God. I never blamed God. I don't understand it all. It's hard to make sense of the nonsensical.
Yeah.
But I trust that God is good and that he's redeeming the stories of our lives. And I just have to lean into that.
Ryan and Lou Ann, you remember we had Dr. R.T. Kendall here, who has written a book called Forgiving God.
Yeah.
And some people don't understand that title, and God doesn't need to be forgiven. He's perfect. Mm-hmm. He's all good things. But we need to forgive because sometimes it's hard to let go of the fact that He created the whole universe. He could have prevented this, and he didn't, and I don't understand why. Mm-hmm. And I can't let go of that. I can't forgive him. But you have to, because there's nothing else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is everything. And you can't let him just leave your life.
That's right.
Of course, he doesn't, but you feel that way.
But we feel grossly inadequate to process that for ourselves.
We
I
do.
Can't imagine, as an incoming step-parent, having to then reach out and help your children or stepchildren process the same thing.
Especially when you've got angry stepchildren
mm-hmm.
who are pushing back.
Right. Yeah, they're angry at God sometimes and angry at you.
That's right.
And as much as you can empathize with that situation, it doesn't make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Just understanding doesn't make it easier to have a 13-year-old say, "You're not my dad. I don't have to do what you say." I understand that you're sad.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make the situation any easier.
That's right. And what I would say to that stepdad in that situation is respond with two things. Number one, compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, go ahead and set the behavioral limits. So the response might sound like this. "You're right. I'm not your dad." You're right. I get it. As a matter of fact, if I were you, I'd be missing my dad right now too. Mm-hmm. I understand. However, everybody's got to pick up their own room in this house. The rule applies for you just like it does for me and just like your siblings. So let's get busy cleaning your room. There's a balance there in acknowledging that there's a story that never goes away for this child. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you should not allow that to guilt you into being paralyzed. And that's one of the problems for stepdads, is when mom gets guilted into being paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
When her sympathy for her children and their pain wells up to the point of taking their side, letting them off the hook, kind of trying to overcompensate for the loss that they've experienced. And the next thing you know, she's reneging on something she and her husband decided to do with the kids. And that puts the stepdad in a really disenfranchised place. And then he feels disrespected, and then he's angry with his wife. Mm-hmm. And you can begin to see how what starts as a parenting dilemma quickly becomes something that erodes the couple's relationship.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Earlier you said, the kids don't get over it. It's not just, when you become a teen and when you turn 18. I have a friend who lost his dad, and we're both in our 40s, and he was buying a house, and he called me and he said, "No one ever told me how to get a loan. This is something my dad should have been telling me. He should have prepared me for this. He should be able to say, well, I've bought a house before. I've been in this situation, and I've got nobody to go to."
Yeah.
And I just thought, man, we're in our 40s, and where would you go?
Yeah.
It's an absolute feeling of loss.
That makes me think about a stepdad I was talking to recently who came into his stepchildren's life when they were adults, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're in their mid-20s, early 30s. And his first assumption, one that many step-parents make, is that because the kids are adults, mm-hmm. boy, they're going to adjust easily, they're going to be fine with this, and it's not going to be an issue. Well, no, this is another loss for them, right? It is a huge issue. I tell people all the time, adult stepchildren have just as many transitional adjustments to make as do 5-year-olds and 15-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to get played out in different arenas. Sometimes it's about inheritance. Sometimes it's about family holidays and Thanksgiving and whether we have turkey or ham, because we're all trying to merge traditions. But it's still an adjustment. It's still odd for mom to be married to somebody not dad.
Yeah. Wow.
And so, again, the skill here for stepdads to be successful is to have an appreciation for what the kids have been through and to connect into that. Hey, it's Father's Day coming up. I bet this is really a hard time for you. Would you like to buy your dad a card? Can I help you do that? What a graceful thing for a stepdad to do.
Luann and Ryan, there are times when the brevity of this program really frustrates me.
I know.
We're just now into the meat of this subject, and there is so much here, and yet we're going to be off the air in a moment or two. We would really like to pick up right here next time. Would that be okay? And Brad, I want to hear more about how you made the transition to marriage again, how you made the decision to get married again. And Ron, you have so much to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pick up right here again, shall we?
Yes, let's do that.
Mm-hmm. There really is a lot more to cover, Doctor. Mm-hmm. If you have been touched by what you have heard today, maybe you're even thinking of someone right now who would definitely benefit benefit from this conversation, give us a call. Even ask for a complimentary CD copy of this broadcast. Our phone number is 877-732-6825, or even share the link via your Facebook page. You can find that at drjamesdobson.org.
And while online, you can request a copy of the book we've been talking about today, The Smart Stepdad by Ron Deal. And he has a number of other titles as well, all excellent resources for the issues that stepfamilies face.
And we'll also have a link to Ron Deal's ministry, which was formed in memory of his son, Connor. Again, you can find all of this at drjamesdobson.org.
Thanks for being with us. We invite you back next time as we hear the balance of this conversation with Mr. Ron Deal and Mr. Brad Bowker. That's right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.